Big time weekend for the Los Angeles Lakers. They handle the Bucks on Friday. They handle the Los Angeles Clippers on a Sunday afternoon, 112-103, the final score. Lakers now 49-13 on the season. Let's stay with that just for a quick second. A lot of conversations about where the Lakers are. They've beat a lot of good teams, but they haven't beat the elite, the great teams out there that you figure you're going to be competing against for an NBA championship. Handle the Bucks on Friday. And how big was this win for Laker fans? How big was this win for the Los Angeles Lakers organization going up against a Clippers team that was rolling? Clippers had won 6 games in a row coming into this game. They had won by an average margin of 17 points in each one of these contests. Lakers, by the way, they've won 10 of 11. But that's the one team left. Okay, you took care of... This has been a redemption, going up against these teams that already took care of you since the All-Star break. Took care of the Celtics, took care of the Bucks. Now you took care of the Clippers. That was, I think, probably the only thing left on this Lakers resume was just looking at this Clippers team and seeing how you match up against them. And to see the Lakers come out in this game, that energy at Staples Center, looking at Anthony Davis, you know, a couple possessions, throwing his fist up in the air, you just felt the energy. And this is definitely going to be the Western Conference Finals. It has to be. But you got to feel good that the Lakers know coming out of this game tonight or coming out of this game this afternoon that not only do the Lakers have a legitimate chance of winning an NBA championship this year, we all knew that, but in a game on the road technically against the Clippers, Lakers can control a game and they could do it on the defensive side. LeBron James, Anthony Davis dominate. For the most part, Avery Bradley was really the difference of the game. 24 points for Avery Bradley, and probably the thing that I enjoyed the most on this was just the defensive side. When the Lakers needed stops, they got stops against a, you know, very talented Clippers team. Everybody talks about the Clippers' depth. How about the depth this afternoon with Rajon Rondo coming in off the bench and playing key minutes for the Lakers with 7 assists? How about Kuzma coming in off the bench, the 10 rebounds and the 2 blocks? Notice I'm not talking about anybody's offense. I'm just talking about those small things that those players did to complement the elite being AD and LeBron, and obviously Avery Bradley coming through with 24 points. Fantasy Springs caller of the game. Need a break from the everyday? Fantasy Springs Resort Casino wants to give you a 2-night stay with dinner on golf or bowling for 2. Be tonight's best caller and win 877-710-ESPN. Visit fantasyspringsresort.com to book today. I'm expecting to take a lot of calls this afternoon talking about the Los Angeles Lakers, number one team, obviously, in the Western Conference. And in my opinion, that's the team that everyone's got to go through. One of two things was going to happen this weekend. You were going to play okay, where you split these two. You were going to fold, where you lost both of these games. Or you were going to pick up 2 of the biggest games in a row in probably the last 6-7 years for the Los Angeles Lakers. And that's exactly what the Lakers did. They go 2-0 on this stretch against the Bucks and the Clippers. And if that's not sending a message or a statement across the entire league, I don't know what else will. Tell me a more impressive back-to-back weekend for any team out there in the league. Now, we're not going to go march down Figueroa and think we just won an NBA championship. You're not going to get a championship trophy for doing it. But if that's your barometer, this stage of the season, we know how close we are to the postseason. You're about a month and a week away, 5 weeks away from the postseason starting. And if this is the barometer of where your team is to this point, it's a pretty damn good barometer for the Lakers. So you obviously got to feel good about these last two games. But I think for me specifically, this game against the Clippers just meant so much. The hype and the conversation about not having a chance to beat them. Look, we all watched the game on Christmas. Lakers had the game. They were up 15 in that third quarter. They were up 7 with 5 minutes left to go or so in the fourth quarter. Lakers gave away that game. How are you going to learn from some of your mistakes? How are you going to go a couple of months after the roster kind of changed a little bit? What kind of adjustments would you make? The Lakers made, you know, obviously the proper adjustments and I think came out with the biggest win of the season. By far the biggest weekend, but I was saying this to Michael Thompson, the pregame show. This was the biggest game of the year, and it's not going to get any bigger. Like, that's it. I mean, anything moving forward from here, there'll be big games, but when Lakers and Clippers face each other again in, I think, April 9th is the next time they face each other, you got to imagine, okay, the West is already wrapped up for the Lakers. They're resting some guys. Maybe the Los Angeles Clippers are doing the same thing. Okay, let me squeeze in a couple quick phone calls here. 877-710-ESPN. Robert in Santa Rosa, you're on the Lakers Post Game Show. Go ahead, Robert.
Hey, Alan. Just thank you for taking my call. Big
fan.
Man.
Of course.
Hey, I just big weekend. Just so proud of the guys. Just handling business. One thing that really stood out to me today is holding the Clippers offense 39% shooting percentage, and then 22% shooting percentage from the three.
Yeah.
And I just think that's so big. The scheme was fantastic just this entire weekend, especially holding a Clippers team that, like you said, is on a six-game winning streak, and they played five teams that are right now currently in the playoff seeding. So I just think it creates big momentum for the
team. It's a big one.
Overall.
No, Robert, it's a big one, and I'll say this, and I'm going to keep jumping to some calls here, 877-710-ESPN. It's a big one because, like I mentioned, you're talking about defensively. Okay, how did the Lakers look? But they were aggressive, too. You know, there was no – MT has said this a few times. One of the things he talks about in the pregame show, what makes the Clippers is they got a little edge to them. They could kind of push you around. They try to play a little bit of bully ball, even though they got a lot of talent. I didn't feel that at all today with the Clippers. Maybe a stretch there in the second quarter where the Clippers went up 8 or 9 points. You thought, okay, they're not going to push around the Lakers. Are they still going to push around the Lakers? That's kind of the thought process. That didn't happen. Guys like, too, we got some scrappy guys. The KCPs of the world. Rondo is obviously a scrappy vet. But even Markieff Morris. I mean, there are players on this team that are not going to let you just push them around. And that's the key. If you look at the talent perspective, Lakers got the best duo in the NBA, and that's not even close. So then it just comes down to all these other small things. You can't let the Clippers play bully ball against you. I didn't think that happened at all. Lakers got to the free throw line 28 times. Last two games, Lakers shooting over 80% from the free throw line. And a lot of that, by the way, as you know, sometimes we talk about LeBron needing to hit free throws, 12 of 14. He had a big game against the Bucks from the free throw line. Anthony Davis, 7 of 8. I think he had 10 or 11 free throws against the Milwaukee Bucks. So Lakers taking care of business from the free throw line. Kevin in Simi Valley. Kevin, you're on the Lakers postgame show. Go ahead, bud.
Hey, I just wanted to say, kind of like what you just said about, you know, Markieff Morris, you know, doing all those things that may not show on the sheet. You know, he's taking charges, things with Anthony Davis. What that other caller said about, you know, holding them to a certain field goal percentage and all that kind of stuff. And then, obviously, one of the biggest I think was the free throw percentage, which
huge. No, it's huge.
Most of LeBron's career has been something he's had to like work on quite a bit, and he's, you know, worked and he's gotten it now. And, you know, maybe a couple years back, he probably hit half of those free throws. Now he's hitting almost 80 to 90% of those.
Not all the time, Kevin, but at least in these last two games, he's taking care of the free throw line. I mean, listen, who stops LeBron James? I mean, think about who stops LeBron James when he gets to the basket. And it doesn't matter who's on the other team. He was doing it on Giannis in the last game. Nobody stops him. So then it just comes down to if you get fouled, go up to the free throw line, take those free points. And obviously he took advantage of that this afternoon. Steve in L.A., you're on the Lakers postgame show. Go ahead, Steve.
Yeah, Alan. Agree with Morris. He was one of the keys. They showed me a lot today. They played, like Pat Riley would say, championship, tough defense, tough-minded. LeBron's on the floor scrapping for loose balls. I feel so much better now that I've seen these two games over the weekend. I have no doubt we are the team to beat. And the Clippers, when they went Montrezl Small, I like using Morris in there.
How great was
Bradley
that?
He came up big.
Yeah,
and
that was
– as,
go ahead, Steve.
Sorry,
go ahead. No, go ahead.
And one last thing. I also, between the way we play toughness and defense now and the way Mick Cronin has UCLA rolling – It was an almost a 3-for-0 weekend, but we went 2-1. But both the Lakers and UCLA are in good hands.
There you go. That's a way to weave the university in with the Lakers. it was, I will say that Markieff Morris, we'll talk a little bit more about him, but just the flexibility the Lakers have on the defensive side with Markieff there. All right, who should you call if you've been injured in an accident? You need to call the Wallace firm. Why? Because Wallace wins. My guy, the best in the business. Brad Wallace and his team of attorneys at the Wallace firm will fight relentlessly to get you the compensation you deserve. And when Wallace wins, you win. Call 844-844-WINS or go to wallacewins.com. No win, no fee. So Wallace can win for you. All right, coming up next, more of your guys' calls on the Sprint hotline, 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. We'll also hear from head coach Frank Vogel. Stay right here. This is the Lakers postgame show on 710 ESPN.
Uh-oh, Reggie Jackson got free. Blocked by Anthony Davis. Davis blocked it, then controlled it. He's dribbling it to the other end of the floor. Avery Bradley down the middle. Bounce pass, Kuzma. Kuz puts it up and in. All started by the defense from AD.
Block of the game is brought to you by Emergency Services Restoration, the leader in water damage restoration, sewage mitigation, and mold containment. Emergency Services Restoration, it's a slam dunk. Gotta love when Ireland does those calls on the blocks. Lakers 7-5 as far as blocks go. And looking at the steals, by the way, Lakers 8 blocks. You got a game where you have 8 steals and 7 blocks and just 12 turnovers against a good team like the Los Angeles Clippers. I'll say a great team like the Los Angeles Clippers. Only a few great teams in the league. You're going to win a lot of games. What an afternoon for the Lakers. What an afternoon from a lot of these. The LeBron part is just, I don't know really how to describe him every single game. I probably take it for granted because I'm doing every post-game show when I look at the stat. And we all do, right? From a fan's perspective, we're watching him, we're listening to him, whatever the case is. And just see what he does on a night-in, night-out basis. And there's a lot of things that aren't even going to show up on a stat line. Believe it or not, even with LeBron, there's things that don't show up on a stat line. But just his control of the game. How about when he was guarding Kawhi Leonard? Okay, I got Kawhi, no problem. There were moments off switches. He had Montrezl Harrell down low. Yeah, I got him, no problem. Giannis on Friday. Yeah, bring Giannis in. Let him try and go one on one against me when Anthony Davis was in foul trouble. What more can we ask for from LeBron James? All right, time to go to the Sprint hotline. Visit your local Sprint store and find out how you can get $100 just for switching. Get a network built for unlimited and a great price at Sprint. Hurry in now through Sunday, March 8th, to learn more. That's now through March 8th at Sprint, so through today. Okay, let's go to Frank calling in from Columbia. Frank, appreciate you calling in. Go ahead, buddy.
Hey, Alan, thank you. Long-time listener, listen from your show, the Alan's Legal Show. I needed to call this time because I was very surprised. I was
get in
surprised,
here.
But
call anytime.
Yes, thank you, sir. I'm very excited to see LeBron doing this. This is what he needs to do: take care of the ball, be the person who takes it to the basket, not to settle for those 3-point shots, but actually doing what he did tonight. And I'm very happy to see that. There's no doubt in my mind that we are the team to beat in the entire NBA, and we're definitely going to get it this year for Kobe.
Got to, Frank, I appreciate you calling in, man. Got to like just how aggressive everybody was, too. I liked Anthony Davis. I thought early on was settling for some jumpers, but as the game progressed, he's like, all right, let me go down the block. Let me get to the free throw line. That's exactly what he was doing. That's what you got to do against these teams, especially in the playoffs. The game's going to slow down. We're not going to be in a position. I mean, it's so easy to talk about the Golden State Warriors when they were winning championships. Or look back to the, when the Lakers were winning championships with Kobe and Shaq or with Kobe and Powell, there was still lockdown defense. The Showtime era had unbelievable defenders. You want to win in this league, not just in the regular season, but have it sustained over, obviously a playoff run. You're going to have to play defense. And the Lakers, I thought, play defense and play tough type of basketball to get to the free throw line. Let's just say there was no nobody was pushing the Lakers around. Let's put it that way. Robert, you're on the Lakers postgame show. Go ahead, Robert.
Hey, Alan. I mostly just want to talk about how Patrick Beverley is normally thought of as a catalyst for the Clippers, right, or whatever team he's on. But I think his energy worked against the Clippers in the sense that LeBron and Avery Bradley and AD, they were just straight bullying on that dude. And I think that gave the Lakers a lot of energy because they knew that if they just keep picking at him and picking at him and picking at him, you know, they would essentially win whatever matchup they could with them. So I think that worked a lot in their favor.
Yeah, Pat Beverly, minus 16 today, by the way. And I appreciate you calling in, Robert. And I look, I just point that out. We know the type of player Patrick Beverly is. He's trying to get under each one of these Lakers' skin. And I thought the Lakers, I thought Patrick Beverly was a non-factor. Non-factor this entire game. Now, Kawhi Leonard, 27 points. Paul George, 31 points. Those are really the only two players, plus Montrezl Harrell, got to the free throw line a ton and was 6-11 from the free throw line. Those are the only two players you kind of felt their presence, and then a little bit of Montrezl Harrell. But I thought the Lakers, as far as Lou Williams goes, some of these other players, the depth, the Landry Shamet of the world, Ivica Zubac, Marcus Morris was awful for the Clippers tonight. I know he struggled 0-9 and 0-7 from the three-point line. Lakers controlled everybody else. All right, head coach Frank Vogel on the Lakers, 112-103 win over the Clippers. Here's coach, courtesy of Spectrum Sportsnet.
Frank, what changed the most in the second half when you started to take control?
You know, I think we started winning 50-50 balls. I thought we got more aggressive in our catch-and-shoot situations at the three-point line, particularly Avery Bradley. And, you know, we had the mindset that, you know, there was going to be a wall at the rim. There's going to be a collision at the rim, you know, the entire second half. And, you know, for the most part, we did, you know, just made sure that we were protecting the rim. We probably fouled a little too much, but there were a lot of great no-foul possessions. But I'd probably say those three things.
You've been winning consistently all season, but do you learn anything more this weekend with the wins coming against Milwaukee and the Clippers?
I think you learn every time you play a game, but, we do keep the regular season games in perspective. You know, there's a lot of factors that go into these games that really don't matter come playoff time, whether you win or lose. But, you know, to measure the habits that we're trying to build, it's very encouraging to see, you know, our guys perform at this level against two of the best teams in the league.
How about LeBron just continuing to get to the basket at this rate against these kind of defenses and the stuff that we've seen in the playoffs have passed? What did you make of his weekend?
He was unbelievable. You know, I mean, his best weekend in the Lakers uniform, I'm assuming. That I wasn't here last year, but, you know, in my mind this season, this was his best two-game stretch. Really just dominated both games and, you know, helped close them out. You know, AD and Bron both down the stretch of the Milwaukee game helped close it out. And AD was in foul trouble tonight. He had some big buckets, but Bron down the stretch, just going to the rim, you know, attacking, you know, down the stretch against any matchup that they put on him. He was just too much for him and just an outstanding performance.
Avery Bradley was sensational today. Was that by design? Did he have a hot hand?
He's been hot the last, I don't know, 5-6 weeks or so. You know, we always want our guys to be catch and shoot aggressive on the perimeter. We know that, you know, Anthony and LeBron are going to get double teamed when the ball swings. There's no hesitation. And, you know, I thought our team collectively as a group for a second game in a row were a little bit hesitant at the three-point line in the first half. But he really got going and was, you know, obviously a huge part of the win.
You guys have done this all year where third quarter you flip a, I don't want to say flip a switch, but you seize control of games. Happened Friday night, it's happened in Houston, happened again tonight. Is that your halftime speech or is that characteristic of the team?
Great halftime speaker, so it's got to be the head coach. There's been plenty of times where we lost games or lost leads in the third quarter as well. But this weekend, the third quarter has been good for us. You know, we highlighted that in our film session yesterday in the Milwaukee win, you know, that we had a huge 18-0 run or something like that in the third. We talked about that again at halftime today. Like, this is going to be our quarter. It's time to make our run. And, you know, we were great in that stretch and really down the stretch late in the games, I think, has been more critical with the last two wins is how we've executed offensively down the stretch.
You've talked before about LeBron and how there are certain games where you know not to talk to him pregame, just in general, because he's got that locked-in look in his eye or attitude. Was he like that before these last two games?
I don't know. I was too locked in to notice what everybody else was doing. He's pretty locked in. You know, it wasn't our whole locker room. There wasn't a lot of laughing and joking before the game. You know, we knew we wanted to just have a seriousness to our approach tonight, and I think it showed up in the game.
Frank, you said again and again that this would not be a statement game, but to win the way you did on Friday, you go to here. How much momentum does that give you guys?
You know, we've got some momentum. I think it keeps it more than anything. You know, but you know, in the regular season. losses, wins. We wipe out the result and we focus on the lessons we learned in that game, you know, and we try to get better for the next one. You know, we'll take some things we did well, some things we could have done better from this game, all the habits we're trying to build that we know are going to win for us in the playoffs, and, you know, that's what this game means to us.
Did today almost feel like a home game?
Of course. We're in Staples Center. All Staples Center games feel like home games, for sure. And obviously our fans turn out. Lakers fans turn out no matter where we are, but in particular for this road game.
Go work, Coach. Go work. I gotta like a lot of his answers there. And listen, if he's not going to say it's not a statement game because it's the regular season, I get it. A lot of it's coach talk. That's what we were talking about pregame show. Myself, MT, Brad Turner had hopped on from the LA Times. We can say it's a statement weekend. We can say it's a statement game. Every Laker fan that's walking around right now feels very good about the Los Angeles Lakers right now. You might have had some question marks walking into the weekend, but you walk out of the weekend saying, championship's going to come through the Los Angeles Lakers. And I don't think that's a far stretch by any means, and I think a lot of teams right now in the NBA are saying the same thing. All right, we come back. Can we hear from Avery Bradley? Puts up 24 points for the Lakers. Has 6 3-pointers for the Lake Show. Let's hear from him when we come back, and then more of your guys' phone calls. Stay right here. This is the Lakers post-game show on 710 ESPN. Bucks on Friday, and then the Clippers on Sunday. Now, that's a good weekend for Los Angeles Lakers basketball. How good are these highlights going to be? Now you could sit back the rest of your Sunday, enjoy SportsCenter. Fantastic wins for the Lakers. It really was. And this afternoon, doing it against the Clippers and doing it the way the Lakers beat them. You felt like they had control in that second half. You felt like in that fourth quarter, I know Clippers made it a 5-6-point game, something like that. But for the most part, you felt like the Lakers were in control. Congratulations to our Mobile Wash winner tonight, Tim Burgess. There's no need to waste time at the car wash anymore. Mobile Wash brings the car wash to you in minutes with everything necessary to bring your car to a full shine. It's the only app that offers on-demand car washing services wherever you are in SoCal. Download Mobile Wash now and use promo ESPNLA to save. Make sure to use promo ESPNLA to save. AD, Anthony Davis, big-time performance. 25 points against the Bucks in the second half. Ends up with the Lakers, 30 points, 2 steals. I thought he set the tone for the Lakers on defense, and that's exactly what he's in LA to do. AD, courtesy of Spectrum Sportsnet.
Anthony, you guys struggled a bit offensively to open up the game, but you found your rhythm, it seemed like, kind of each quarter. What adjustments did you guys have to make in-game?
Just kind of settle down. You know, we learned a lot from the previous 2 games, and we didn't want to make those same mistakes. You know, knowing that they're going to help anytime we get into the paint, and we got to find, you know, our shooters with one less dribble than we usually make. So, you know, we only had 11 turnovers tonight, which, you know, is great for us. You know, we want to stay under 12. But we didn't, you know, have any, you know, self-inflicted plays where we just kind of gave them the ball and let them get on transition.
And defense was key. So what was the conversation on the court? What was the focus for you guys tonight?
Locking in. Locking to the game plan, knowing guys' personnel, you know, knowing that the ball's going to be in Kawhi, PG, and Lou's hand, force them to their, you know, they're good going both ways, but force them to their weaker hand, and just showing walls so they can't, you know, get to the basket, make them take tough shots, no rise-up threes, and we did a good job of that. They made some tough shots. You know, where our help side was there, taking charges and getting a lot of deflections, and that's what we got to continue to do.
You've referenced before some of the struggles you guys have had when LeBron steps out. That third quarter stretch, you guys extend the lead without LeBron on the floor. What was key there, and what happened?
We're going to need to be able to, you know, play without him, you know, in the playoffs a little bit when he needs his rest. And so, you know, we're getting so much better at it. We're continuing to learn and figure out, you know, plays and sets that we can run, you know, without him on the floor with the guys that we have in. And also, guys are playing with a lot of confidence, making shots. We're taking a challenge defensively, you know, when he's out the game, and it's been working for us. So, you know, when he gets his rest, you know, we all got to step up.
What would the playoff series against the Clippers be like?
Just like that. Chippy, defensive minded, you know, scrappy, the best type of game. You know, coming out of there with bloody lips and scratches, and, you know, guys taking charges and guys chirping. You know, those are the type of games that you live for. You know, the fun games in basketball that every player in his locker room wants, and No, it was a fun game. So
did Detroit today feel like a home game? And if you guys didn't win the playoffs, would that be a big advantage for you guys?
We feel like everywhere we go is a home game. You know, like a nation always travels. So they were definitely on our side today.
Going forward, how's the series changed psychologically? Going forward, how's it changed psychologically that you guys have now both beaten each other at full strength?
I mean, it's one game, but, you know, like I said, the first two games, we beat ourselves. You know, we feel like we had both games, and we kind of beat ourselves and, you know, gave the game away. Right now, it feels good just because we can create a little bit more separation in the standings. You know, they're creeping up on us. So, but, I mean, it was a good win, especially for a 12:30 game. You know, sometimes it's not our, you know, typical games that we like to play on, but, you know, it was a good win for us.
You guys turned things around in the third quarter, and you've done that multiple times. Is that a characteristic of this team?
Just try to come out in the second half and not let the game get away from us. Down four, and remember what we did against Milwaukee. We're going to start the third quarter on an 18-0 run.
Right.
And we wanted to make sure that we come out with a little bit more offensive intensity and aggression. We didn't shoot the ball well in the first half, and, you know, guys shot extremely well in the second half, so, you know, guys just came out more aggressive.
Last question.
How big of an accomplishment would you say it is to win these two games against two elite teams?
I mean, we know the type of team that we are. You know, if we don't do things that to beat ourselves, then, you know, we feel like we can beat anybody. And like I said, the first time we played Milwaukee and the previous two times we played the Clippers, we beat ourselves. And, you know, when we don't do that and you know, get a shot on goal every time and don't turn the ball over, then, you know, we're a tough team to beat.
What did the kind of weekend that LeBron had this weekend, the way he played against Giannis, and then what he did for you guys tonight, what kind of message does that send?
MVP. Who's it? MVP.
Should he say anything else? There's nothing else to say. How about Anthony Davis there again asked about what this weekend, what's that say about LeBron James, MVP? Just that simple. And I don't know how you can argue that. That's no disrespect to Giannis. It's no disrespect to other players that are out there. But you guys see on a night-in, night-out basis what LeBron James does for the Lakers. You just see how dominating he's been in these two big games. How about all the other games before that? Triple doubles. AD's out for a couple games. I got it. Giannis wants to post up AD. You know what? Or Giannis wants to post up LeBron James. I'll play defense on him. We've seen LeBron do everything this year, but sometimes, you know, these players have politically correct answers. AD doesn't shy away of who he thinks that the MVP is. Obviously, he thinks it's LeBron James. Only 20 games left on the season. And I mention that because, you know, something interesting could be happening here. Suns have an 18-point lead on the Milwaukee Bucks. That's in Phoenix. And the Lakers are three games back from the Milwaukee Bucks right now for best record in the NBA. If the Suns end up winning this game, they'll be two games back. I don't know how things are going to play out, but the way the Lakers have been playing this season, they're obviously not resting much. All the main players are in, and that's been the theme of this entire season. Maybe they're going for the best record in the NBA. I mean, I'll tell you this, if they get to the NBA Finals, I'd love to have that series start at Staples Center than start in Milwaukee, just using that as an example. But there's only 20 games left and still a lot of good basketball left at the same time, as in there's still a lot to play for. But you heard Anthony Davis talk about just in the standings. Okay, where does that put now the Clippers? Clippers are 6.5 games back from the Lakers. They're 7 games out in the loss column. Who would have thought the Lakers would have this much of an edge over the entire Western Conference? And to do it tonight against, you know, obviously a good Clippers team. Paul George played well, as did Kawhi Leonard. But the Lakers, it was the role players that I really thought it was a difference. So to kind of put a cap on this, Avery Bradley, Kyle Kuzma, Rajon Rondo, Markieff Morris, KCP, those are 5 guys right off the top of my head that I thought were huge this afternoon against the Clippers. And then Anthony Davis and LeBron James, they just do what 2 of the top 5 players in the NBA do. They deliver every single game, and they definitely did it today as well. A couple quick thank yous. Thank you to Adam Bronstein, Rebecca Womble, Curtis Poindexter, and Carlos Aisu. Appreciate all the help that they had here. Don't forget tomorrow, tune in to Keyshawn, Travis, and LZ starting at 6 a.m. So all local conversation. We got everything covered on this past weekend, and you know the crew in the morning will handle that. George Sedano, 10 a.m. to noon. Will Kane after that, noon to 3. Mason Island from 3 to 6:30. And then I'll do Lakers talk tomorrow from 6:30 to 9. Thank you for tuning in. I'm Alan Sliwa. We appreciate you tuning in to the Lakers postgame show.